are talking today about being captivated. Our series is all during Advent is all about coming home. That when you think of home, when you dream of home, you're going to have a bunch of different pictures, memories, smells, things that make you laugh, things maybe that not make you laugh as much. But there's something captivating about home. And even, I was thinking of this today, when I say home, you might picture your own home, or you might picture like the home that you grew up in, or you might even picture like your future home that you hope to build someday. It might be your cabin. It might have been like your friend's house growing up. But whatever that picture of home is, there's something that like captures your heart, that captures like your mind, it captures maybe even like a part of your soul. Because home is meant to be life-giving. Home is meant to be a safe place. And for me, when like for my family, when I think about like something captivating, it's just recently we were driving up to my parents' house, and my kids, when we come around this hill, my parents live in Carlton, God's country. And when you turn this corner on County Road 3, the best county road ever made, right? And you come around and they look in the field because they're looking for hay bales, right? To a kid, hay bales is like a magical kingdom. And the last thing they came to them, they're like, yeah, they're still there. And I'm thinking, yeah, you can like get mold all over your clothes. And yeah, and mice are living in there and come play in your hair, right? So like, but to them, those hay bales are just, they capture them. And then my dog runs to the front because she knows that like Grandpa Denny just loves the dog to death, and that she'll be able to run free and roll in some weird stuff, right? And we can't see her, so she doesn't get in trouble. And so it captures my dog's heart. And for me, when I pull into like our house at Esco and I see like Cole, my son's like three basketballs, and he's into like kicking the football, like he has, Grandpa Dick made him like this own like little stand so he can practice kicking field goals, and he's out there like kicking field goals, and I can see like my daughter coloring on her little coloring table, and I see Max running around pretending like everything on fire. That's what he does, right? Everything in his head is everything. Right? And I can see my family like taking like the new space and making it their own. That's like, I love that. Like what captures your heart? Like what like captivates like your intellect? Is it like a perfect harmony that you heard on the radio? Is it like a beautiful piece of art? Is it like the perfect like joke that you heard? Or like a wonderful written paragraph, or maybe like a fine glass of wine, or like some deep like chocolate, or maybe it's like a vegan meatball made to perfection, right? You hear that? Yeah, that's a real thing, vegan meatball, right? And you just, something that just captures the best of you. And when that happens, what do you do? This is like a great conversation starter. Like when you get captivated, when you get really excited, how do you respond? Do you jump up and down, right? Do you start like making weird noises like, right? You guys do these things, right? Like for me, I'm a pointer. And like when I see, like we come over the hill to Duluth and you see like the big ship coming in, I still am amazed. I'm like, that floats. Nikki, look at that. You know, I've been here forever. And every time I see those ships, it's like I have to let the whole world know, like there's some dark magic happening on the waters right there. It is floating. So when something captivates you, you have a response. And what we're going to be looking at today is when you experience, like, God has created us for a home, right? God has created us for a home, and it's to be with him. And we talked a couple weeks ago of how the Word became flesh. It talks about in John of, like, the same Word that created, like, the heavens and the earth. He became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. That God created a home, and that's heaven. And we get to experience heaven, not just when we die, not just later on, but we get to experience it even now. You were created for a home. And we're going to be reading a story, two stories actually, in the Christmas narrative of how people were captivated, how they were captured by the beauty, by the goodness of God. And actually, the way that they experienced it is in two different ways, but they have a similar response. And so my goal this morning is that throughout this Christmas week, and really my dream is that like throughout like the rest of your life, that you can like see Jesus, that you can be captivated by the beauty of God, and not just around like big, wonderful things, but like in the stillness, in the quiet, that there is opportunities for you to experience heaven. So we're going to be reading out of Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 16. We have some Bibles in the back. If you want to grab them, you can use your smartphone. But before we go on, let me just pray. Ask God just to bless this. So God, thank you that you've created us for a home. And I pray as we talk about what it looks like to be captivated, God, I pray even now you'd capture our hearts, that you would speak to us, and that you would give us, even in this moment, something really good. We love you, God. Amen. So where we're going to start in Luke chapter 2, this is the story of the shepherds, starting in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, and he is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So he hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. So here we have a story, and there's a couple things to highlight. The first is, like, shepherds was not like this glorious job, right? Like, I'd kind of equate it to, they were like the Joe Bag of Donuts of their time, right? You guys know Joe Bag of Donuts? It's just like, you know, just trying to get a job done. I'm just going to put my head down. I'm just going to keep working really hard. And they were kind of looked even down on in their society because of their job, that they couldn't even, like, participate in all, like, the religious activities like their own people were a part of because of what they were doing. So they were a little bit of these, like, outsiders. Like, yeah, we're really happy for you that you're these shepherds. And not even that. They were, like, the shepherds that got, like, the night shift, right? So they're just these Joe Bag of Donuts kind of people, just minding their own business, just trying to get through the night. And what happens? An angel shows up. And their response is very important because they respond in fear. And actually, like you see through this, angels show up, people are afraid, which I think is like a very healthy response. I feel like that's a normal response. They'd be like, you know, if you're out there like shoveling your driveway and you're just, you know, just trying to get through it, and all of a sudden an angel, like, pops up out of nowhere, you know, you wouldn't say, like, yeah, I was expecting that. Yeah, how you doing? Yeah, right? You would what? I would probably run, right? I'd be like, what is happening, right? And they have this initial reaction of fear. But the shepherd, he holds on just for, like, one more moment. In that emotion, he does not let the fear win. It's a real thing, but he stays, hangs on just a little bit more. And because of that, this angel shares not just the news of the day, you know, not fake news, right? He's like real news, and not just the news of the week or the year or the century, but of all humanity. And the news is what? He's home. He said, like, the Messiah has come. The things that you have been waiting for, the thing that you have been talking about, the songs you've been singing over and over, the stories that you've heard from your grandpas and your great-grandpas and your great-great-grandpas, it is finally here. He's home. And then once they share that news, it goes from one angel, and it says a heavenly host. The whole sky lights up, and heaven is being rained down on these simple shepherds, where every ounce of their being, every cell, every fiber of their human is now being bathed in heaven itself. And they sing a beautiful, beautiful song, how everything is now different. Joy to those who now partake. Joy to those who now, like, receive who this baby is. Receive this word. Receive Jesus. And they can't help but be captivated. They can't help but be captured by that. There is this amazing, huge, like captivating God who wanted to speak to these people. But like why? What did these shepherds do in order to, like, experience this, like heaven, like, in this way? Like, were they, like, just, like, the, like, really hip shepherds, right? Did they, like, pray harder than all the other shepherds? Were they, like, the perfect shepherds? No. They just were really just trying to get through the night. They go from one moment probably yelling at some sheep, you know, taking out their, you know, all their fears and anger on the sheep, like, oh, why'd you do this to me, Grandpa? Right? Went from that to, you know, heaven speaking to you, God showing up. Then we have the Magi. And the Magi, you can read where are we at. You can read Matthew chapter 2. We're not gonna read through it. But the Magi, the Magi are these people who lived in the Middle East, you know, clearly, right? But these were not like in the story we call them like the three kings, right? Nowhere in the Bible does it say there was three kings. It doesn't tell you how many. Actually, like these people would travel like in like huge packs, and they were a rough group of people too. We make it seem like really, again, we talked about last week, really clean and simple, and three wise men just show up and like, we got some gifts for you, Jesus, right? Like, these people were incredibly intellectual. They were smart. They knew the Hebrew Bible, the Hebrew scriptures. They knew of the prophecies. And they were well-rounded in philosophy. They knew a lot of different influences, a lot of different religions. They had like some ways of learning things that were very mystical. And these people, the Magi, they were like also outsiders. Shepherds, outsiders, Magi, complete outsiders. They wouldn't have been like welcomed into town and be like, hey, come share a meal with us. They would have been kept on the outside of town, right? But here, if you read through the stories, these Magi, they realize that a star is out of place. That there's like something different about a star. And it captivates them. And it captures them. And it's a little bit different than the shepherds because, like, they knew the stars incredibly well. They knew the skies for direction, for wisdom. And really what they believed was that the earth is just like one piece of this huge puzzle. Like, everything is touching. Everything is connected. And if some cosmic event is happening in the heavens, the star, that must mean something cosmic is happening on earth. What is happening on heaven is happening on earth. And what's happening on earth will be reflected as happening in heaven. So when they realize that there's something different about this star, they start looking around and they think, we got to go. We have to go figure out why this is happening. And it's interesting because how many other people saw that star? How many other people like maybe noticed that something was a little out of place and just went, oh, that's interesting, and just went back doing their job, just went back to their everyday life? See, God spoke to the Magi. He captivates them. He captures their intellect, and he does it in a way by speaking their language. It's this subtle, simple, clear, beautiful way that he's inviting the outsider to come and experience home. He's inviting an unlikely guest, even unlikely heroes, to come back into home. And so these Magi clearly are wealthy enough to pack up and move and go out there going after this Messiah, going after this baby. And they run into King Herod, and it's an interesting story. You really should read it, where Herod is like now intimidated, he's scared, and he's trying to get information out of the Magi. And the Magi follow this star where it stops over where Jesus is, and they go and they worship. They go and they worship. So you have two different ways. You have like the shepherds with like this like obvious God shows up in a miraculous way. He shows up where you can't deny. It's not like angels are like, do you think that really happened? Do you think that was God? I don't know. You know, like the whole sky's lit up and they're singing, yes, it's true, right? And that was my singing voice. That is as good as it gets, right? And so they have this, God shows up in a big, miraculous way where they capture them. And then you have the Magi, where God shows up in a really different way, really subtle way, a way that speaks just to the Magi's language, where it spoke to something where they looked up and thought, oh, I wonder, where they got curious. Have you ever experienced God like that before? You ever been captivated by God? Like in like the obvious loud ways? Like for me, there's been many times where I feel like God has used something in my life as a way to get my attention. So like the first one I think of where I was captivated was when Nikki and I found out we were pregnant for the first time. And we were, you know, young and stupid. We were 20. I was young and stupid. She was young and beautiful and the best person to ever happen to me, all right? I should separate the two. So, and when we found out we were pregnant, like, we didn't, like, respond with, like, fist pumps and run around, right? We responded by, like, weeping on the end of our bed. Because we could barely take care of ourselves, let alone another human, right? Like, the idea of taking care of a living, breathing thing, even an animal would have scared us, let alone, you know, one that is, like, inside my wife. And we're, like, all of a sudden, I'm like, I have to figure some stuff out. Like, I got to figure out how to, like balance a checkbook. I got to figure out how to be responsible. As, like, in our apartment, the rats are running around, like, saying, Chris, hey, what's for dinner tonight, right? That was our reality. And I feel like that God captured me in that moment. Because the truth is that at every single moment, there is heaven waiting for you. Every single moment, there is a good God who's inviting us to see him, to receive from him, to participate with him, at every single moment. And it's funny that sometimes it takes, like, big, loud moments to capture us to see God again. Because in that moment, when I found I was pregnant, I realized, like, I gotta change some stuff. You been there before? I gotta do something with, like, my life, with my time, my energy, my money. And, like, the place where I knew to start was, like, oh, God, you got to help me. A beautiful prayer. And you can write this down. This is like high intellectual stuff. A beautiful prayer is, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, God, right? Because when you get desperate, it's funny. It's funny how God shows up when we actually put our time and our energy towards him. You got to show up. I have a friend recently who got diagnosed with a tumor, right? And he doesn't know how long he's going to live. He doesn't know any of it. And he posted something on Facebook that really haunted me. He said, call your friend, set up a time to have coffee, buy their coffee, sit at the table, and tell them everything you love about them. Just tell them everything you love about them. It makes a difference. I'm like, ooh, that is beautiful. That is heavy. Now, I really don't believe that God gave my friend cancer to teach him a lesson how to be captivated by God. But it's funny, when people hit crisis, big moments in their life, huge moments in their life, it's easy to fall into one of two ways. People I've seen will either fall into this place of this darkness, this bitterness, where they just kind of give up, saying, in turn, bitter and angry. Man, I've seen a lot of people, and they experience something so much bigger than themselves, a crisis. Where they fall in it is they see how good and beautiful God is. They see how good and beautiful life is. And it captures them. It, like, recenters them, saying, now I know what I'm living for. I know what my purpose is. Maybe you've experienced a miracle. Maybe you feel like you heard God's voice just clear as day, and it changed the trajectory of your life. That is God captivating you. That is God capturing you. But maybe you've experienced and been captured by God in, like, the Magi. We feel like something spoke your language. You're going about your day, and something simple, something just little, something small just popped out, stood out to you for a reason, where it made you pause, and you saw heaven. Maybe it was a friend's laugh. Maybe it was a baby's cry. Maybe it was, again, like this beautiful piece of art. Something that just wouldn't maybe stand out to anyone else, but for you, it's like it captured you. Maybe it still haunts you in a beautiful way to this day. For me, recently, just this past week, we were going to my kids' music recital thing, all right? Kara Staples is here right now, and she led it. It was wonderful. She's like, it's a recital, Chris, all right? And we showed up to this kindergarten thing at ESCO, the recital, and I walked in just grumpy. You guys ever had those days where you just something tiny happened and it just threw me off, and I was like just in a very just bad mood. And I'm like walking around pretending like smiling, but inside everything is like on fire. I'm like, ah, and I'm just not happy. And I'm walking into like my daughter's first Christmas recital at ESCO, and they're all dressed up and everyone's happy, and I'm not. right? I am not. And we get a couple songs into the concert, and I'm listening, and every parent is waving at their kid, and I'm waving, and all of a sudden, Kara steps out, and she has a guitar, and she begins to play, and this five-year-old girl and sings this solo of Silent Night, and it was beautiful. You know, and it's beautiful because, you know, there's a kid singing it, and that's good, but in that moment, God captured my heart. And it wasn't just like, oh, this is a really positive thing. I really felt the presence of God. I felt heaven. And it was like I could step outside of myself just for a second, and I could see cranky, grumpy old Chris over here, like, hey, I'm angry. Oh, what's going on, right? Over here. And then I felt like God said, or Chris, you could step into this divine flow right now. I'm here. And you could participate with me in this. You can join with me in this and experience something so beautiful, so life-giving. And it was just in a simple Christmas song where I felt God capture my heart. And to finish the story, I went this direction, right? I went to like, why am I getting all bent out of shape? I want to do what God is doing. I want to receive what he has for me. Have you been there before? Where God just speaks in a small way. Where God just captures your heart in the subtle way. Because those moments are all around us. Christmas, we've talked about the last couple weeks, it feels magical, it feels inspiring, it feels so alive. Why? Because it's the song of heaven. It's a song of heaven coming to us. There's this new home. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss it. But here's the question to ask. Why? Why does God give us these moments? Why does he capture our hearts in these amazing, beautiful ways and these like subtle, beautiful ways? Why is he doing that? Is it just so we can have a warm fuzzy? Is it just so we can be entertained by like the miracle of heaven and be like, wow, that is a really cool thing? No. Here's why God does it. A, because he loves you. And he wants to do good things in you. But B, is because he loves people. He's crazy about him. And he's going to use us. He's going to use his church. He's going to use people to bring heaven throughout these communities, to bring heaven into the front doors of our friends and our family, to bring heaven into like our music programs, to bring heaven on the streets. If you look at these stories, right, when these people are captured, they're captivated, the shepherds and the magi, the important part in here is that they moved. Like the shepherds could have like see the heavens and they look at each other like, this is an amazing thing. And they say, hey, we should go see what they're talking about. And there's a lot of times where something good happens. You get inspired. And you're like, you're gonna have this conversation in about 2 weeks. You know what we should do? We should join a gym. You know what? And we're gonna go every day, right? Yeah, we're gonna go every day, and we're gonna lose 1,000 pounds. Yeah, right? And you get inspired, and then what do you do the next day? You don't go to the gym, right? See, what happens here is that they get captivated by heaven, and then it says, and they went to Bethlehem, and they went on their way. The magi see something different about the stars. They see something that stands out, and they went. How many times have you felt like something popped out to you, something beautiful, something stood out to you, and you just kind of did like, I'm happy for you. Oh, that's nice. And you just kept moving on your day. They paused. They got curious, and then they went. See, God wants to speak to us. God is inviting us to experience him, and he's asking us to move. He's asking us. He's inviting us. He wants to give us everything we need to thrive. He wants us to worship. Both these people, when they experienced God, they worshiped. They had action behind it. See, when you experience God, it changes you. You experience heaven. It changes you. You can't stay the same. So here's how I want to end, right? How can we do this on purpose? How can we actually like be captivated by God? How can we like come home and be captivated by the kingdom of God? I'm going to give you four easy ways that I've found to be helpful for me, right? I actually call it Captivation 101. Yeah, that was a real original way. But all right, so Captivation 101. The first one is this: invite God to capture your heart. This is where we start. You just start by saying, God, I want to see your beauty. There's something beautiful about just putting words to what you know is to be true, putting words to like what your heart wants. Like that, like our words can almost like conform saying, God, I want healing, right? I want hope. I want forgiveness. I want peace. I want to experience something good. When we can like say it out loud, it's a way that we can like recognize. It's a way that we can begin to receive it. So if we start just by saying, God, today will you capture my heart? Number two, I love this one. Get curious. I get really curious. Like as you're walking throughout your day and you hear, like I keep saying these two things, I'm gonna share the art story, but like I'll be listening to music and I'll hear like just a simple song and I can feel something in my heart just move. Getting curious is pausing and reflecting and thinking, why am I feeling that? Why does it feel so right? Why is it that like that friend, that text message I got from my friend, why did that lift my spirits up a little bit? What is it about this movie? What is it about this event? What is it about this picture that's like moving me? When you get curious, you ask those questions like, oh, why am I feeling that? When you see it for what it is, the next point is this, then you can receive it. Then you can actually receive from God. Because when we slow down, we can question. We can slow down and we can actually like see something beautiful. Then we can step into it and receive the blessing that it is. And the last one is this. Invite people into those beautiful moments. Invite people into being captivated. It's because it's not meant just for us. Practical example. Several years ago, we were at a conference down in Chicago, and a good friend of mine named Michael is this artist. And he studied art, and he's a beautiful watercolor artist. Watercolor artist? Watercolorist? He's an artist that uses watercolors, right? So, and he's great at it. And I always liked art. I appreciate art, but I didn't know anything about what made art really, really great. And he gave Nikki and I like this tour around the Chicago Art Museum in downtown Chicago. And he walked up to this painting of the guitarist, I believe that Van Gogh did. And he goes, "Chris, isn't that's like a beautiful painting?" And I recognized it. That's a very priceless piece of art. He goes, "But like, look, let me teach you something." And he goes, "Get really close. Don't touch it. Because you'll go to jail, you'll do time, all right? But get close to be able to see." And I got like as close as I could. And he goes, "Do you see what's behind the painting?" And if you look close enough, like he was didn't have enough money to have a new canvas, so he painted over another painting, right? Of this woman, a painting of a woman. He painted a priceless piece of art over probably another priceless piece of art. He goes, "The painting this guy does is so beautiful that he can even paint over them. There's always something deeper in art. There's always something behind it." And I had like this like aha moment of where he took time to like teach me something about how I can experience beauty. You see, there's times all throughout our day, from maybe like your friends, your coworkers, your kids, especially around Christmas, where we can invite people into those life-giving spaces. Where it might be, "Hey, do you hear that song?" Where you get curious. You might get curious with a group of friends around the table of saying, like, "Why do we sing the same Christmas songs over and over again? Why does it feel so life-giving?" And when you're in those spaces, and we can give each other freedom to be captivated by beauty, to be captured by heaven, then we get to experience the best of home. Let's stand. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to pray over us. And when we're done praying, there's going to be a group of people called our ministry team who are going to make their way up. And these people who are for you, they want beautiful things to happen in your life. And I was just talking to someone recently, and I was talking to them like, "Hey, have you ever gone up to get prayer on the ministry team?" And what they said I feel is true for a lot of us. They're like, "Whoa, whoa, 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 whoa." "No, no, 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 no. Other people go to the front, not me." And you might be here. You might be feeling that of like, "No, if I walk up, everyone's going to know how messed up I am." Right? Everyone's going to look at me and say, "Well, what's wrong with that person? They must be really screwed up." Right? And the truth is, I hope no one's really thinking that. By coming up, you're not saying, "I'm some horrible person." What you're saying is, "I want in on the best." And there's pockets, there's moments in our life where we just need a friend. Just put their hand on our shoulder and just pray that God would do good things. And that's really what we're here for, right? We're here more for the coffee. We're here more than just some good music. We're more for some excellent jokes, right? We're here because, like, we want to experience the best. And the way we do that is with each other. So let me pray. So God, thank you that you are speaking to us. Thank you that, like, you came home. And you created a space for us. You created a reality for us. You created heaven for us to experience. And I pray that this afternoon and throughout this week, even on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, around the tables, around the tree, as we're with our friends, we're laughing, God, will you capture our hearts? And I pray for my friends here and my friends listening on the podcast, God, that you would show up in, like, the loud, obvious, like heaven, miraculous ways. And I also, God, will you help us be able to get curious and see the subtle things that you're speaking to us? And God, will you show us of how we can invite other people into those spaces? And we can actually invite people and show them what it looks like to have their heart, have their mind, have their intellect, their soul, be captured by the beauty of God. We love you, God. Amen. So here's my invitation. If the ministry team can make their way up, my invitation is this. If you're here and you just feel like the whole idea of being captured by beauty, the whole idea of just being captivated by God just feels foreign to you, or right now it just feels really hard. Maybe you have pain in your life. Maybe you have anxiety in your life. Or just the whole idea of experiencing Jesus might be something new for you. A great place to start would be just taking one step in the aisle and make your way up to the front. And the people up here are people just like you. They're not going to do anything weird. They're not going to start running around circles, right? They're just going to, like, look in the eye, shake your hand, ask you what your name is, and say, what do you want God to do? So thank you for coming into the Cloquet Vineyard. I hope that you make it home warm and safe. Have a good weekend.